97.5 The Fanatic wants to see your quarantine coif or crazy beards. Go to 97.5thefanatic.com right now and submit a photo of your crazy hair or beard. We will feature your picture in our gallery each and every day. So the funny thing about that, my youngest son, his hair was growing so fast. My mother, they did some yard work for my mom. They do it on the weekends, so they're there now. She wanted to put his hair in a ponytail because it was so long. He finally asked his father to, he didn't want a buzz cut, and I don't blame him because he does like his hair. But anyhow, they did a haircut for him. You know, that was during this week. And then yesterday when I came home, my oldest son had done a really amazing job cutting his dad's hair. And it's not a buzz cut. And it was like really, really well done. I couldn't believe it. So I do think it's interesting. You see a lot of guys with the beards. It's almost like a free pass to grow a beard. That's
exactly what I'm doing.
A goatee. Yeah, but you look fine.
I usually have, you know, like the thinner kind of clean cut
sure,
one.
Yes,
so
yes, yes.
This is just my experiment on what happens. Because there are spots on my face that I know that I've got very, like, patchy.
Lean. And,
yeah.
So
I want to see what happens. I want to see what happens in those spots that normally I can't right. clean cut
yep.
because they don't grow. So mm-hmm. it's kind of just been an experiment for me.
Sure. I know I saw my sister's husband the other day. He went full board with the crew cut. Yeah, just take it all off. I think now they're wanting the quarantine coif of crazy beards. But for those of us who highlight our hair and you can't go to a salon, some of us have had to do it ourselves. I actually was very excited the other day because it's hard to match if you don't know the color. I mean, and you know, you're trying to say, well, So early in quarantine, I didn't do a good job of matching a color. But this time around, I was spot on. And I sent it to my friend saying, look, I did it without destroying my hair. Quarantine coif. I want to throw out there, because we have been talking about the NBA, might as well stick with it. Tyler was talking about that particular 2007 Cavaliers team that LeBron James led to the NBA Finals, and then they lost to the San Antonio Spurs. First of all, I was right. It was a young LeBron. He was 22. And he averaged 27 points that year. But I would throw out to people, I wonder which roster, that 07 roster or the Sixers 01 roster, who would you say had more talent around them, AI or LeBron? Now, I'll just rattle off a few names on this. Tyler already mentioned that Larry Hughes was the second highest paid player. I think he said second. I'm assuming he was second to LeBron, right?
I think he was making $13 million, so I'll go back and take a look
at
the numbers.
No, that's all right, but it would be in the ballpark. It's either him or LeBron. But they also had Drew Gooden, Zydrunas Ilgauskas. They did have Varejão, and that would have been a young Varejão. I did not remember Eric Snow was on that team, and he actually averaged 24 minutes a game. Sasha Pavlovich, I remember him vaguely. Damon Jones, Danielle Marshall. Now we're getting down nitty gritty. Oh, well, wait a minute. David Wesley, he played, why did he play so few games? They must have picked him up. David Wesley was on that team, though that was towards the end. He was 36 at that point. Shannon Brown, Ira Noble, Dwayne Jones, and Scott Pollard. All right, so not a lot of big names there. Though I'm a Ilgauskas, Varejão was good for those guys. I just remember his energy from back in the day. Larry Hughes was their second leading scorer, and that was only at less than 15 a game. But if I throw that one out at you, and then with 01, you have Iverson, Dikembe. You got to say, even though he's hurt, but George Lynch, Tyrone Hill, Aaron McKee, Eric Snow, Jumaine Jones.
Yeah, I think that the way that I kind of play it off is if you moved, like, if you moved guys from each other's teams, basically, and you could take AI and LeBron kind of off the table because they
right.
would obviously
so
make either of
them. If you went like
better.
That, yes.
I think even though it wasn't an uber-talented team, I think the 01 team had better players.
I think you're right.
Yeah, it's a good question.
It's certainly that year. Like, Aaron McKee's right. sixth man of the year stats were, it was a great year for him. Dikembe had a really, really good year that year. That's why he was the defensive player of the year. And he was he was still agile getting up and down the court. And I know we only had him for the, after All-Star, after that trade. But you're right. That was, what was interesting when I was looking at highlights of Iverson's 54-point game, because that was yesterday's anniversary. Every time that they would shoot, he'd make a bucket and they would show cutaway on the sideline. It was Matt Geiger. Geiger was on that 0-1 team. I don't think he got much time towards the end. But Geiger was there. And I swear, there was somebody in street clothes, but he's not on the roster. But it sure as heck looked like Speedy Claxton to me. But I couldn't tell and I couldn't capture to see who it was. But during those highlights, I kept seeing somebody that looked like Speedy Claxton. That's a name from the past. 610-632-0975. I have watched all the episodes when they've been on of The Last Dance. It's kind of my Sunday night thing to do. I should make it tonight. I am going to try to play some golf, so I don't think it starts until 9. Right, because they always play last week's two episodes first, 7 and 8 o'clock for those, in case somebody needs to catch up. And then 9 o'clock, you get the new one, and then 10 o'clock, you get the one after that. And then next week, this wraps up.
Well, I mean, the good news for you is it is Mother's Day, so if you want to go play golf and then watch the Jordan doc, nobody should stop you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, today's like the perfect day to do it.
Exactly. Well, that's exactly what I'll be watching by myself. And I got all my grades in for my students last night. That was why I was up till 2 in the morning, because I did not want that hanging over my head. And so that's done. I don't have to get up and get my assignments out tomorrow. They're done for the semester. So, yeah, this is, you're right. I could do whatever, Tyler. This is excellent. It's kind of like my day is how they view it, or how I view it. And I'll have leftovers of my takeout from Capital Grill. That's pretty good. Pretty good Mother's Day in my
book.
Not
a bad day.
Not a bad day at all. Not at all. So back to the NBA and Heartbreakers. That was last year. When I saw the just moving forward and in the hopes of being able to play some kind of basketball season, when you go and you look at the bracket and who would play, let me see if I still have it up there. I mean, obviously, I knew that the Sixers would be facing the Celtics if you do exactly where people are in the standings in this moment. And there were about 17 games, depending on who you were. Some had more, some had less. Here would be the NBA playoffs if we had them. I didn't realize how, I mean, Milwaukee, their best record in the league is 4 more wins than the Lakers. But the Lakers would be the top seed in the West, so they would open up against Memphis. Utah would play OKC. Denver, Houston, and the Clippers against Dallas. Wow. Luka was having a heck of a year. That would be an interesting series. I don't even know what they did against each other. It's a 2-7, but that'd be a little dangerous if I were the Clippers, in my opinion. And then in the East, Milwaukee, Orlando, Miami, Indiana, Boston, Sixers, and then Toronto, Brooklyn. Interesting. I mean, I'd still have to put my money on Milwaukee coming out of the East. And I know one thing, I really, really, really would like to see a Lakers-Clippers Western Conference final.
So for that that Mavericks-Clippers head-to-head this year?
Yes.
The Clippers actually won both, and they've won 3 straight against the Mavericks in general. They won 110-107, and in November they won 114-99.
Yeah, the only thing in November, that was when Paul George wasn't healthy yet, I don't think. Well, I don't know in that particular game, but it's a possibility. Because he didn't.
So they win by 15 without Paul George, if that's the case. Imagine what it would be.
Yeah, right. That's, oh my. You know, it was interesting, just when you said that, when Tom McGinnis reminded that when the Sixers won game two last year in Toronto, I had forgotten how long it had been since they had won in that building, because I had covered the team and year after year, and you go there twice a year. Oh, George did play. He scored 26. Okay. Yeah. Because he did miss some games early on. I think he was getting healthy or whatnot. But all right, so they still won big, but he had 26. Yeah, and just to get the monkey off the back in winning that game two in Toronto, and he was talking about how that team had such swagger going into an arena it was Kevin Harlan who said the swagger of the Sixers he could see, as if they didn't feel like the challenge was beyond of winning a game seven on the road. And probably because they had won in that building in the series already. And why not do it again? Why not do it again? Now, I would have been interested because this year's Sixers team, the disparity of who they are at home versus who they are on the road is far greater than a year ago. And that would be the other interesting part of if they do, and again, this is hypothetical, but they, you know, there's been a lot of conversations. So it makes you feel like come July, maybe early July, that we might be seeing these teams get together somewhere. And just even now having more and more reports of these workouts, individual workouts, and people being able to go into practice facilities and work by themselves. Seeing the Korean baseball, the UFC last night. You know, it's slow, but it is happening. Anyhow, if in fact the NBA does it the way that has been discussed the most, which is going to one place, and because you're not going to have any fans in the building, it does take away the whole home and road and what teams have done leading up to this point. I mean, I think the biggest thing, and Tom McGinnis did point this out, the competition, nothing's going to change the feeling of the competition. You're still going to want to, you know, if this is a playoff format, these teams are going to want to, you know, want to win these games, win these series. Yes, things will be different, but, you know, just like a strike-shortened season as they've had in the past, that's different. But you still want to have a champion, and you have eventually got to one in 99, and then the one in, was that 2012? I don't know if that was a shortened. I think it was. But anyhow, I think it just to see these guys compete, but the home versus road kind of goes to the wayside, and for the Sixers, that would be a good thing. Except for the fact that actually the Wells Fargo is such a place they love to play and so loud for opponents. So that part is taken out of the equation. I did think seeing the workout, or I shouldn't say workout video, but knowing that these guys are working out is certainly bodes well. Embiid looked pretty good in the, I don't know if the picture was taken yesterday, but he looks lean in the picture. You never know if it's a file, but that's a good thing, because I think people worry that if you come back and play, and you're probably still 2 months away, if in fact they do it, what kind of condition would he be in? What would his weight be like? And that picture yesterday, I thought it was encouraging to see him looking svelte. That's different than when AI used to say all swolled. Svelte for Embiid and swolled for AI. Two different things. 610-632-0975. So will you be watching the episodes of The Last Dance tonight? Have you enjoyed it? And actually, I would be curious if anybody, I know Pat Egan earlier talked about the UFC. I'd like to know if anybody watched the fights last night and what that was like. Again, I watched the post-game, I call it post-game, the post-match interviews. Dana White was on there for a good amount of time. Obviously, I call him the commissioner of UFC, but I'd be curious if, because Tyler and I had talked yesterday, I wasn't going to pay extra money to watch it. And I did see on my Twitter feed that there were a lot of people having problems with their ESPN Plus feed. I should have asked Pat Egan if he had to pay extra. It appeared to me that I was going to have to pay, even though I do have ESPN Plus. But it did seem like there were a number of people who had some problems early on with their feed. So if you were watching that live sporting event, because the week before I did watch the Arkansas Derby and I thought that was cool. And that seemed like what normal horse racing looked like to me. I didn't really miss seeing people in the stands there. That was the same day the Kentucky Derby would have been run. And again, I'm not avid, but I enjoyed watching those races that day. And I'm curious if anybody watched the UFC, if you felt like, okay, real live sports again. This is cool. Let's check in with Todd in Allentown. Todd, thanks for calling the Fanatic. How are you?
Good, D. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Happy Mother's Day. The weather is great today. I've been out in the yard most of the day.
Nice.
I have three quick points.
Yes.
I guess the first one is, of all the four major sports, at least in this country, I think the NBA would be the easiest to come back first. And here's my rationale.
Okay.
Is just because the number of players and coaches and staff is a whole lot less.
Yep, and the numbers. Yep, I
right.
agree with
so,
you.
So it's a just a pure numbers thing. My second point is, I love watching live sports, and I agree with you. Watching the Korean baseball,
yes,
it is kind of odd. Not what? Hearing anything like in the background.
I'm so glad. Gosh, I was trying to describe it to Tyler, and I said, you really have to see it to really appreciate or understand it. It was very odd to me.
Yeah, it's just, I've watched maybe four games now. Not at like 1 a.m. when they actually start over there, but they have like reruns at like 5 a.m.
Oh, yeah, no, I know, because they actually promoted the rerun when I was watching, but I was amazed because it came on live. And I was still up, and I was saying, "Oh my goodness, this is crazy."
Yeah, it's very odd. However, that sort of ties into my next comment over here. Major League Baseball, and you know this better than me, but I remember watching just a couple spring training Major League Baseball games, and I know it's kind of gimmicky and all that kind of stuff, but they mic'd up a couple players. I think it would be awesome
if
Major League Baseball comes back, and because there's no background noise, unless they pipe it in,
right,
you can actually hear
conversations. Yes.
But they don't filter it. There's not a guy like on a dump button.
Right. The only problem would be the language.
I totally
That's
agree.
The only problem.
But I would be so into that.
Fascinated. Yeah, that's a good one.
Right? Kind of like Bull Durham when he walks out to the mound. He goes, "You believe this?" And he's taking me off.
Yes.
Like, that would be so cool to hear.
Oh my goodness. I wonder. Well, I'll have to ask some. I have friends, obviously, who are on the technical part of broadcast. I'll have to ask how many mics you could control. You know what I mean? That you'd have to have the audio people who are monitoring or mixing.
Right.
How many could you do? You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, and it's spring training, so guys know they're mic'd up.
I'm
just saying, like, this
I totally get it.
That would be so cool.
That would. I have to tell you, just because you brought it up, back in the day, it was a preseason game, and I'm, you know, producing like a half hour special, and I want a microphone. I'm not going to on, and I asked one of the assistant coaches, because he was going to be coaching the game, would you please wear this microphone? And he said yes, and then gets to the game time, and he says no. And I'm like, what? I mean, you know, I'd flown down to North Carolina, which is where they were having their training camp. And so I'm dumbfounded. And Iverson was walking by, and he's like, I'll wear it, D. And so I said, you will?
Right.
So he, and back then the microphones were a little bigger, like he had to wear a little pack on his back.
Right,
and,
right.
And anyhow, he wore it for a half for me. Now, I edited it later, but right. I have to tell you, they were great conversations that he had in that first half of basketball.
Right. And yeah. that would be, I think that would be great TV. I would tune in just to hear the slip-ups.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Todd, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you.
Thank you, Dee.
Have a great rest of your day, and thanks for calling the Fanatic. Yeah, that was one of my all-time. And to be honest, I don't know what people would anticipate, but Iverson was, he actually had really good conversations. He really didn't use a lot of bad language or anything. He would talk to a referee when somebody was on the foul line. He went over, Charles Oakley was on the other team. He went over to Oakley and kind of like had a conversation with him for a little bit. He had some great stuff that he would say. And I actually had to literally listen to the whole half, and I typed out everything he said, because the camera wasn't always on him because the person was also shooting the game. So I really did go through and listen to everything, because I didn't want to miss one of the, you know, like a great one-liner if I hadn't played it all out. So, yeah, that was one of my favorites. And yes, Tyler.
Have you seen the video that's come out? I mean, it's been around for a while, but it kind of got back on Twitter recently, of the one game that Rasheed Wallace got ejected and they had the ref mic'd up. So apparently Rasheed was staring at the ref, like trying to intimidate him. And the ref told him, like, if you stare at me anymore, I'm going to tee you up and eject you. And a foul got called, and he stared him down, and he tossed Rasheed. And one of his teammates came over. He's like, what did he do? And he's like, he was staring at me. He's trying to intimidate me.
All for a stare down.
Yep.
I was going to say to you, Tyler, which game? He used to get thrown out all
the time. Oh, he got tossed all the time. I'll have to go back and find
him. No, I'm kidding you. I'm saying that, yes. And he's one of my favorites, by the way. There was a recent, before the pandemic, there was a great article by Mike Jensen in the Philadelphia Inquirer. They went down, I guess she was coaching, is coaching, but he and his, Jensen and his high school coach, Simon Gratz, they went down and they did a story on Sheed and his coaching in North Carolina. And I see one of his really good friends. It comes to all the Sixers games. So I occasionally get on the phone through his, I don't know if it's his friend or his cousins, one or the other. And he'll be talking to Sheed, and then he'll hand the phone to me at a Sixer game. It's so funny. But he was he played for Mo Cheeks and my dad in Portland. And man, what a player. Talk about the right addition for a Pistons team. He was the one who got them over the hump to get a championship, if we're talking about playoff basketball. Ray, sit tight. I'm coming right back to you. Want to make sure you had your full time. We'll be talking about The Last Dance, episodes 7 and 8 coming up tonight. And if you have to catch up, you can watch last week's episodes, so 5 and 6, at 7 and 8 o'clock. They will be on prior to the new episodes. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey! Just about 3:30 on this Sunday afternoon. And only because I had to check out who it was, Tyler, that threw Rasheed Wallace out for staring at him. First of all, that's classic. Second of all, it's Ron Garretson, who he actually is the son of Daryl Garretson, who was a longtime NBA referee. Ron still is. And Daryl, I don't know what year he passed away. Daryl passed away at the age of 76. Oh, wait, was when his dad. But Ron, too funny. Steve Smith, who's on TNT also, was a teammate of Rasheed, and he tries to go over to Ron and say, what did he do? What did he do? Steve, get out of here. It's hysterical. I told him to stop staring at me. Oh, that was classic. And we were talking about this because one of the ideas by Todd, our previous caller, is if you are going to be in quiet arenas, stadiums, ballparks, if you had players mic'd up, it would be interesting. I don't know if you can realistically do it. I mean, let's face it, they have mics in the huddle during NBA games, and you'll get a taste of that. But it is edited a little bit for people, you know, to see on TV. And they have somebody who's listening to it before it airs that's, you know, works for the league so that no one gets embarrassed or says something that they don't think is good, right? Let's check in with Ray in Delaware. Ray, what's going on? How are you? And thank you for calling the Fanatic.
What's going on, D?
How are you?
I'm good. You know, I got to change the song up a little bit because it's Mother's Day.
I know. I was saying to myself.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
I was wondering what you were going to do.
I'm going to say, go D, Mom. That's my D, Mom. Go D, Mom.
I like it, Ray. That's very nice of you. Way to adjust. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, I got a trivia question real quick.
Right,
I'm a big Rasheed Wallace fan. What was his number in Simon Gratz?
His the number on his jersey?
Yes.
I would
because I found we graduated the same year.
Were you? Did you go to Simon Gratz?
No, I didn't go to Gratz.
Oh,
no, I was just a Rasheed Wallace fan.
I'll just say number 8.
No, 30.
Oh, it was 30?
Yeah, 3-0. I stumped you, D. I got you.
Yes.
See, now, I got some basketball.
Yeah, I'm not a good trivia, but you know what I just thought of? Because he was teammates with Aaron McKee, and Aaron was number 8.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yep, you're right.
So I really didn't put much thought into that because I knew Aaron was number 8.
Yeah, I kind of talked about the last dance is kind of like, it's almost like live sports to me right now.
It is, I know.
Yeah, with all that's going on, like, I'm intrigued to get home, sit down, relax, get something to eat, chill out with their family. Okay, now, Dad needs some alone time. I got to watch this because I know they are not going to give me no time if Dad is on. So, but, you know, I just wanted to step in.
I hope tonight, Ray, that we get to see some of the Bulls and their battles with the Pacers. Because, you know, they did a lot about getting through Detroit. I don't think you're going to see the Utah series this weekend because that should be next week and it's the final part of that season. So I'm hoping that we get maybe some Reggie Miller. There were some classic games between those two.
Yeah, it definitely was. They went at it just as much as the Bulls and the Knicks went at it.
I know. And,
yeah.
And that would have been when Reggie was at his height also, height of his
yes.
career,
yes.
in my opinion.
Yes.
So I hope we get to see it. And I also, I don't know about you, but even talking about like miking players up, you are seeing interesting behind the scenes footage. And it is new. Anybody, there's a lot of that when they're in the hallway and you can hear what they're saying. And I do appreciate that they'll type the words out because people aren't mic'd per se, but there's a mic on the camera.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's been some really good conversations or insight.
Yes, it has. And it's stuff that we weren't seeing when these games were happening. And,
exactly.
They go to the locker room.
Yep.
Like, and they're at their regular form. They just won a game and they're being themselves. They're happy, joyful.
Yeah.
I'm just loving it.
I mean,
I'm loving it.
Last week, I don't know how you feel about this, Ray. I thought it was insightful, but how competitive Jordan is when he does that thing in the trainer's room. Now he's all dressed. He has his tie on that's after a game and they throw those coins at the wall. And
they would pitching coins before the game.
Yeah. And you have to, and the trainer or the travel guy, you know, they're all different. I don't know their exact titles, but you know, they're like, all right, I'm in. And you know, I don't know if they bet $20, but can you get your quarter closer to the wall than my quarter?
Yes. Yep. That's pitching coins.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, yep. It was awesome.
And Jordan, so he was so competitive. I was listening to something and somebody owed him $5.
Yes.
Mike said, you need to go get that. It wasn't even about the money. You lost a bet. Michael Jordan was such a competitor. He doesn't like to lose.
No.
He could be pitching for pennies. You lost, give me mine.
Absolutely.
I love the attitude and the spirit of the way he played the game. Forget, you know, how he get portrayed sometimes. But when it comes to sports and just...
And competitiveness.
Period. You got to love it in any player, whatever sport.
Absolutely. You know, my other one that I thought was really cool, and he began, I'm going to forget what his name was, but he was a ball boy at the time, and I want to say he's a rapper maybe now, and somebody wanted Jordan's autograph, and the guy says, you know, oh yeah, I can get that for you. And he's like, well, it'll cost you $5. So he takes the $5 from the kid. He goes in, he says to Michael, hey, you know, can you sign this? Now, I am sure that Jordan knows that he, like, is on the take for these autographs. And he says to the kid, he's like, you can sign it. You know, you sign it for me this time. So the guy does, and he takes it back to him, to the fan, and he had spelled Michael wrong. He had to give the guy his $5 back.
Yeah.
It was classic.
I think that's the story I heard about with the $5.
That is.
That's what it is. Yep.
And the guy's a famous rapper now. I have to go back to the episode. I bet you that was either episode 2 or 3.
I think that was in one of the early ones.
It was. But it started, you know, the whole thing about, you know, I'll give you your, all right, I'll challenge you on that and that kind of thing. And it started to build. I thought they did a good job. I mean, Jordan doesn't mince any words that he enjoys his gambling and he doesn't think that that's a bad thing. And
that's what that man do on, you know, outside of basketball.
Yep.
You can't knock him for that game. It's not like it's illegal.
That's what he said. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not illegal.
Pitching coins. Maybe I'll pitch some coins later on tonight against my kids.
When I saw that in the episode, Pitching Coins, I remember doing that coming up.
That's good
closer
stuff.
Closer to the wall.
Oh,
closer
man.
Closer to the wall. D, it's always good hearing your voice. And once again, happy Mother's Day. And I got to serenade you one more time.
One more time, Ray.
Go D, Mom. That's my D, Mom. Go D, Mom. That's my D, Mom. D, you enjoy the rest of your day.
I appreciate it, Ray. Have a great rest of your Sunday as well. Pitching Coins. And he is right. From a competitive standpoint. I'm not sure you could put anybody, you know, I know Mamba mentality is as close as you could say that, and just wanting to like tear your throat out. That's just, and it didn't matter. It even when they went to the gym to play against, what was it? The Dream Team. So that would have been 92. That the competitiveness in those pickup games, I really wish that we had had an opportunity when they were making this, but the decision didn't come until 2016, which, by the way, came about when LeBron had won that championship that we talked about earlier in the show, coming back from a 3-1 deficit. It was that. You know, the producer, Mike Tolan, had flown to Charlotte to make his pitch, and he remembered seeing the parade of the Cavs having beaten the Warriors, and that was when Jordan decided that he was going to go ahead and do this. Well, he decided in that, you know, in that day when they had the meeting. But I started to say I would have loved to have heard the perspective of Chuck Daly on this group, those practices, and Jordan in particular, because at the time that you hear, you know, Magic and Bird talking how it was changing. And you could see it in Jordan in those pickup games in practice, and that they hadn't seen anybody like this before. And that, you know, he was taking over. He was taking over. Michael Jordan, The Last Dance on ESPN tonight, episodes 7 and 8. And it has actually been interesting to go over the course of what will end up being 5 weekends on Sunday nights to, and as Ray just said, it has replaced, or maybe it was one of the earlier callers, it has felt like a live sporting event that you look forward to seeing because One, some of this footage is new. The actual episodes are definitely new. Those haven't been on demand. These interviews have been theirs and fresh, and those haven't been out before. So while some of it is known, because you know what happens with the 97-98 Bulls and how it started, them talking about it in retrospect is new and fresh. 610-632-0975. Have one more segment with you, and then Mr. Joe Stazak will take over. So last dance it is tonight. And one more time, if we want to just go down memory road, we'll listen to Tom McGinnis on our way back in with the call of the Kawhi Leonard shot, which happened on this Sunday last year. Game 7. It was right there, and then it wasn't. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. Nerd Street Gamers have teamed up with Dover International Speedway to bring you our first ever NASCAR Heat Tournament on PlayStation. If you think you are the fastest racer in the game, head to 975thefanatic.com and register for one of our four qualifying heats. Top 10 fastest drivers each heat qualify for the championship race, where you have a chance to win four tickets to the August 23rd, 2020 Dry Dean 400 NASCAR Cup Series race and four hot pit passes. Experience NASCAR live, in person, and closer than you think at Dover International Speedway. For tickets and information, visit doverspeedway.com. That is doverspeedway.com. Our first heat kicks off soon, so get to 97.5 The Fanatic for more details now. So as I was talking about hoping to see maybe something from Reggie Miller or the Pacers, something about the Bulls having to go through them, because in that 98 series or 98 season, the Eastern Conference Finals was between the Pacers and the Bulls. And since we've been talking about Game 7s, there was a Game 7 for them. Obviously, it was on the Bulls' home court. It was won by the Bulls by 5 points. Jordan had 28. I have to look up each game individually, which is kind of a pain, but Reggie Miller led his team with 22. They were low-scoring affairs, which means they were defensive struggles. 88-83 was the final, and like I said, Jordan had 28. Reggie Miller had 22. So, but the, you know, again, a game 7. And that's what we were talking about here today, the game 7 of the Sixers and the Raptors. And we had Tom McGinnis, who obviously called it for the Fanatic and had a front row seat. So, but he talked about a lot of things, the emotions of that day, seeing Kawhi. He actually sent me the picture he took of Kawhi, and it is stamped by the time of day. It was like 4:30 in the afternoon, and he had sent it home to probably his son, because his son's a huge basketball fan. Like, you know, can we keep him under control? It said underneath it, and he sent me that the other day. So the answer was, relatively speaking, if you hold a guy, I guess, 16 for 39, but he finishes with 41 points, his team a 2-point victory, and his team is advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals, then I guess the answer would be, you did almost enough, but not quite. So anyhow, it was fun to go down memory lane with Tom McGinnis and then to do it from a different perspective, because for the radio, you know, and we had the caller Paul on right after Tom was done, and Paul, you know, is blind, and he was saying how he loves hanging on every word that Tom McGinnis does because he can see it. I mean, he feels like he can see exactly what is happening. And then where Kevin Harlan came on, and he had called it for TNT, and his point was, you know, you have to remember that in TV, the pictures do a lot of the talking. So you don't want to overdo it. You don't want to underdo it. Wow. But he was fun to talk to because the perspective is different. One, Tom does the game by himself, so he doesn't have a partner, and he's on the radio. Kevin obviously has a color analyst, and in that game was Greg Anthony. So just to have the perspective and, you know, talking about sports can be awesome when your team wins, when your team accomplishes a championship, and it can also be heartbreaking because you're invested as a fan when they fall, and in this case, just short of taking that next step. And that's hard. You know, we brought up a couple of examples. I said, obviously, and we had a couple of callers who remembered the Phillies and Mitch Williams giving up the home run to Joe Carter. And that one poor kid, he was 10 years old, I think he said, and that sticks with him still to
this day. He cried for like 2 days.
Yeah, I can see why, you know, that one. And I can't believe there weren't more people. I swear that maybe because I loved that St. Joe's team. But when that kid, John Lucas, made that three-pointer at the buzzer, and that's like one of those shots you see in the one shining moment when they do it at the end. But that was to go to the Final Four. And it's been so long. Well, it had been at that time. Now Villanova's won it twice. But at that time, you know, to get a Philly Big Five school to go to the Final Four, because Temple teams had come close on a couple of occasions under John Chaney. But, you know, this was a team that had gone undefeated in the regular season. Then they lost a game in their conference tournament, but they were a number one seed. And they're like, ah, yes. And then that to me was a heartbreaker.
Well, I wonder if there's a lot of people that are like myself that don't have an allegiance to the Big Five. Like, I don't care about Philly college basketball. Like, I think
they tell me that people don't matter.
I guess my Philly team would be Penn. It's just because it's what it's always been. But, like, I root for my alma mater. I root for Penn State basketball. I don't watch Philly basketball like a lot of people do.
Then you,
it doesn't do anything for me. Like, I'm not a Nova fan.
Wow. Have you been to the Palestra?
Yes. Okay. It's awesome.
All right. As long as you've been to the Palestra. So you root for Penn State basketball,
yes,
even when your Penn State wasn't good?
Well, I mean, since I went to school.
Yeah, you're
so
right.
So 2012 is probably when I really started watching them. But yeah, that's the team I root for.
Actually, I mean, I'd have to look. Patrick Chambers has been there now probably longer than I'd give it credit.
He was there at minimum since my freshman year, so it's been at least 8 seasons.
Wow. Yeah, he's turned that program around.
Yeah, it's because he started recruiting Philly for the first time.
Yeah, yeah. I do remember covering a Penn State team coached by Jerry Dunn that had, they were brothers, Crispin. Do you know the Crispin name?
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah, I knew he would know.
Joe knows.
Yeah, Joe knows. John and Joe. Well, one of them played, I think it was, let's see, John and Joe Crispin. I'm going to guess it was John. One of them played for the Lakers. They got drafted probably in the second round. And but those, the Crispin brothers, their years, one time with Jerry Dunn, I want to say they definitely played in the Sweet 16. They might have made it to, yeah, I think it was just Sweet 16, but yeah, they had good teams, and then it was, you know, there was a drought again, and you're right, he started recruiting in Philadelphia, and we talked to Dick Girardi about that last week, because he calls the games, and what a season it had been, you know, just like anything else that we were talking about, missing out on opportunities, not because anything done by anybody other than a pandemic.
It would have been 2001.
2001,
you
right.
Know, you know who they lost to that year?
Oh,
Temple.
Wow, you're right. I covered that. Was it in the Sweet 16?
7 seed lost to an 11 seed in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, see, my memory isn't that bad, Tyler. I still got it
it's
together.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Am I right? Was it John Crispin that made it to the Lakers or played on the Lakers? Does it say that?
I'll take a look.
No, I'll look.
That 0-1 team was definitely, I don't think, as good as the 96 team, and the 96 team lost in the first round.
Wow.
Now they were a 5 seed that year.
And the guy who coached them in 01, Jerry Dunn, he ended up actually then going to work for the New York Knicks organization. I don't know if he was a scout. I think he was some kind of front office or college scout for them after he coached at Penn State. But they, that was a good team. And the whole reason, this was funny because I want to say, I'm almost positive, I'll have to double check, but that team, one of those years, we went up there with the Sixers for training camp. And that's how I had gotten to know players and whatnot. And the Crispins in particular, and the battles that they would have in their backyard as brothers. I did a whole story on that. It was hysterical. All right, let's just check in with Ian, who wants to talk about the 01 Penn State team. Ian, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
Hey, what's up, D? Yeah, I'm out running. You guys, I'm listening to you guys now. It's funny you brought up that Penn State team because I remember the Crispin brothers.
Yes.
The one thing about Penn State I miss the most about college basketball is their old stadium. You know that old stadium, the crowd was like right on the court? I love that about college basketball.
Oh, yeah. But
they don't have that. Like Penn State, when did Penn State go to the new stadium?
Yeah, it's been a while because when we were up there with the Sixers for training camp, they were already in that new stadium.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that team because they went to the Sweet 16. Now, who did they lose to?
Temple. That's what we were just saying. I said I should have. I knew they were in the Sweet 16, and I couldn't remember what happened there.
So who was on that Temple team? Do you remember that? I don't remember.
I'm going to guess that Lynn Greer had to be on that team if it was 01.
You know, it's funny. Again, during the summer, I was on Lynn Greer's basketball team.
That's too funny.
Yeah, and Lynn Greer was like a quiet kid. I never realized how – I didn't think he'd become that good, but – it's just funny you brought that memory up, though, because, like, one thing of college basketball, this old stadium, I miss that atmosphere when it's like Duke, when they're right on the court.
Sure.
They don't have that.
No, I know what you mean. You know, that's Cameron, that's the Palestra, that's Allen Fieldhouse. Yeah, and a lot of them, you know, like if you think of Villanova, they take their big games to the Wells Fargo.
Yeah, but you know what? I like the games better at the Palestra, though.
Yeah, sure. I know, because those are great buildings, great arenas.
That's the problem with the college basketball. When they put all that money, I miss that. Like, I miss that atmosphere. Because, you know, back in the day, remember, like, UNLV would be on Midnight and Rider.
And
those games would be so much fun to watch because the crowd was right on the court. That's why I call it, because it just brought up memories right there. And
well, I appreciate it, Ian. Thank you.
All right, All right.
Have a good rest of your run, and thanks for calling the Fanatic. We are out of time. Tyler Zuli, thank you so much. I appreciate the help. Thank you to all the nice people out there who called in and nice Mother's Day wishes. I do appreciate your time and conversation. And Mr. Joe Stazek is up next. He is the man. Let the big dog hunt. I'll see you next weekend. Thanks for being with us. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.